Good afternoon, St. Raphael. This is Father John. Very happy to be back with you for another podcast. And today's podcast is entitled, How Are You? And this is a topic that's been kind of on my mind for the last week or so. And it seems very apropos to kind of talk about it this afternoon a little bit. So it's been about a week now since the bars and the restaurants have closed to dine-in customers. It was about, I think, last Friday when that order came down and that began to be followed for bars and restaurants to close, and our life began to change. A week and a half since our last public mass here, it was last Monday, so that was another big change to our lives. And today is Thursday. It's almost the end of our first week of e-learning, so we're kind of getting used to a new kind of life with our kids home more, and you know, we're home more with them, or we have relatives at home with them, or they're staying at a friend's house and we're picking them up. But there's some kind of new routine that is going on now in our life. And as we start to mark these anniversaries, and you know, we're not just in the first couple days anymore, we're starting to develop some habits and some routines, it's a good kind of question to kind of start checking in with ourselves today, tomorrow, sometime over the weekend, and start asking myself, how am I doing? And you know, we have people calling us, or we talk to people and they ask us that, and we're so quick just to give a quick, oh, I'm fine, or everything's good, or this sort of thing. But to really ask, how am I doing? Because during this time, we've seen a lot of upheaval in our lives in just a week or two. A lot of different routines, a lot of different habits changing for some of us. And because of that, we are developing new habits and new routines. And that's a very healthy thing. That's a very human thing, because we humans, we like to have routines. As I like to tell people, you know, you don't get up in the morning and just kind of look around and try to figure out what you're going to do. You have a routine. You get up, you do this, you do that, you get your coffee, whatever it is, and you're very comfortable with it. It makes life a lot more reasonable than if you woke up in the morning and you wanted to change it up every morning. It makes life a lot more manageable. A lot of our routines have begun to change over the last week or two. So we have to start asking ourselves, you know, how am I doing and how are these routines kind of helping me? We have really two different kinds of habits that we can have. Some are habits that are built out of a survival strategy, and some that are built out of a thriving strategy. So what's a survival strategy? Well, a survival strategy habit is that a crisis hits me, or that some kind of trauma hits me, and I develop some habits just around trying to survive. And, you know, unfortunately, especially in the seminary, when I learned these different terms and learned this way of thinking, we did a lot around grief and around somebody passing away. So perhaps we remember back to when that there was a death in the family, and we kind of found ourselves beginning to change our habits and routines. And it wasn't really a conscious decision. It was just something that we began to do. Perhaps we began to go home and we just slept a little bit more. Perhaps we were just kind of just staying home around the house. We didn't have the energy to go out. We were just kind of keeping to ourselves. And that's kind of a healthy thing to do, maybe after somebody we know and love passes away. But eventually, at some point, we begin to kind of wake up and we begin to say, you know, this isn't a healthy way to live. Perhaps somebody talks to us, or some time passes, or we begin to kind of talk to ourselves a little bit. We say, you know, I need to kind of put my life back into motion. So what do? We then start developing new strategies and new habits, and that's called a thriving strategy. So perhaps in the case that we've used here, I begin to come up with some ways to healthily remember this person. I begin to get out a little more. I begin to kind of re-enter life very, very slowly, and things kind of go back to normal over the course of time. I've moved from a survival strategy to a thriving strategy, from just coping with the event to being able to live life after this event. And at this point here, with this coronavirus and a shelter in place order and all these different things that are going on here, what kind of strategies are we developing? We may have already developed some great thriving strategies, and praise God for that. But maybe we have some more survival strategies that we are still struggling with or just starting to kind of become aware of. One of them might be addiction. And these addictions might be old ones that are kind of rearing their ugly head, or they might be new ones. Perhaps we've had a problem with eating before, or drinking, or watching TV too much, or we're on the computer a lot more, or we're taking that extra click on the computer that we shouldn't be, but we are. We're doing these things because we're trying to relieve stress. And we know that even though it's low-hanging fruit and it doesn't really satisfy, it feels good for the moment. So I begin to do this a little bit more. I begin to re-engage in these addictions, or I find some new ones, and they just help me to cope with the stress of the moment. Perhaps I'm really trying to gain some power over the moment. You know, I read the news and I kind of keep hearing things in my life and I feel like that things are out of control. So maybe I'm getting really addicted to news and I'm really trying to stay on top of the coronavirus and I'm crunching the numbers with the experts. I'm really up on every latest development. I'm tracking the bills through Congress. I'm really kind of immersing myself in this because when I have all this knowledge, I have power, I have control. Or maybe I've gotten something in my email or something on Facebook, and it's saying, hey, pray this prayer, especially for coronavirus. And it's always great to pray. You know, I'm a priest. I'm not supposed to tell people, hey, don't pray. But also, I begin to do this prayer, or I'm doing these prayers for coronavirus, and instead of doing them because I love God and I want to ask God's help in this coronavirus for our nation and for the world, I kind of start doing it and I feel like when I do this, I have control. I have power. That's not the right reason to enter into prayer. So something to be aware of there. Perhaps I'm really losing hope. Perhaps I'm in a situation that I'm just down. And I don't have any energy. And I don't have any desire really to climb out. And everything just kind of seems down and drab right now. You know, the weather the last couple of days haven't helped too much, but now we got the sun out. But it's just still, I'm just kind of in the blahs of life. And I just cannot really get that hope up that things are going to get better. This is the new normal for a while. I'm just going to kind of have to grin and bear it and just kind of hunker down and bolt my way through it for, you know, weeks or months, whatever that is. And then also work. You know, this was one I didn't really initially think of, but talking to people, people are not used to having their work directly down the hallway from them. This is something that priests have to deal with a lot of their priesthood because, you know, our offices are usually in the place that we live. So we're used to having our office down the hall, but talking to people, they're like, hey, I'm not used to having my work literally in the other room. It's like, oh, that's something that I'm not really used to as a priest, or that I'm used to as a priest, but that workaholism, that I don't have to go home at the end of the day. I could sit here and work all night. Look at all these people who are sending me emails, or there's Slack messages, or there's all these different ways that I can keep working and I can look productive. And I feel bad because I haven't put in maybe the right amount of hours, or I haven't given all my all, or, you know, I keep second guessing myself, and maybe without really any good reason, but I just keep working and working and working, and I'm starting to maybe stop and say, you know, is this sustainable? Am I really working too much? So I gave some categories there. There are probably a lot more. But when we're trying to evaluate if a habit is part of a survival strategy or a thriving strategy, ask ourselves this question. Is it A, something that is healthy? And B, is it sustainable? And is it also helping me to get closer to God and closer to others? If I can say no, then it's probably a survival strategy. If I'm saying yes, it's probably a thriving strategy. So if we find that we have some survival strategies in our life, it's nothing to get upset about or get mad about or to freak out about it, but it's just something to say, okay, this is a situation. I have some things in my life that I need to begin to change course on a little bit. So how can I do that? I need to move into a thriving strategy. So how can I do that? One idea is just to live a life of balance. Look at Jesus. You know, of course, right now we're very concentrated on Jesus's passion, his death, and his resurrection as well. We should be. It's the Lenten season. But let's think about the whole of Christ's life. Christ was somebody who preached and taught. Yes, we know that. But also Christ took time to sleep. He took time to pray. He took time to get away from people and to have that rest and relaxation. Jesus also took time, as we know from different things. He liked to have dinner parties. He was with people in a social way. He was never just teaching all the time or sleeping all the time or partying all the time. But he lived his life in perfect balance. And maybe to kind of help me to check my balance right now is that I get out a notebook or I print off something on the computer and I start planning out at the beginning of my day what is going to be my schedule. And of course, knowing that something may come up and the whole schedule kind of goes out the window. But what can I do to make sure that I'm taking time for rest? I'm taking time to be social. I'm taking time to eat healthy. I'm taking time to pray. I'm taking time to work. I'm taking time to take care of personal needs. I'm taking a good and balanced time. And that I'm recognizing myself when I am able to do those things. That's an awesome thing to do. Next thing is, where is my prayer life? You know, maybe we used to pray on our way to work. And now all of a sudden, I'm not going to work. I'm walking down the hallway, and the 20-minute drive to the office is now a 2-minute drive to the office, or actually walk to the office. So my prayer has gone from 20 minutes down to 2. Making sure, am I still maintaining that good life of prayer? Am I maintaining that relationship and that connection with Christ? Also, maybe the hobby that I've had for a long time is not available anymore. Maybe that's golf. Maybe that's going to the ball game around this time of year. You know, today was supposed to be opening day, and now we can't do that. Maybe that's sitting down and watching sports at the end of the evening, and now we can't do that. Am I adjusting and developing new hobbies to deal with the stress that I'm feeling? Am I taking time for exercise myself, this sort of thing? But also looking at the fuel for addiction. Addictions are low-hanging fruit. They are low ways for us to deal with our stress. So we know they really don't satisfy, but we do them anyway because it's just something to help me in that moment. So I want to find those things that are fueling those addictions so I can start choosing those higher things, those things that are really going to satisfy and going to satisfy me for a long time. If you think about it in terms of food, how could I stop choosing the candy bar and going for that healthy, well-balanced meal that is going to help me to be fed for a lot longer? And some of those fuels for addiction, it can be just called halt. Where am I hungry in my life? Where am I angry? Where am I lonely? Where am I tired? And then I'm taking time to deal with those things so that I have the strength to be able to say no to that low-hanging fruit and choose that higher-level fruit instead. Making sure that I have a good point of communication in my life. You know, maybe I used to have a once-a-week coffee with somebody, or used to get together with somebody a couple of times a week, and we really held each other accountable. And we haven't been doing that the last week or two because stuff has been closed, our lives have changed, this sort of thing. Making sure that I maintain that good point of contact, and that I'm talking about the things that I'm discovering through this process. And then also that with this point of contact, you know, one of the things that I've noticed that's happened over the last couple of weeks is that our conversations have gone from many different things down to one thing. And that one thing is coronavirus. And it's coronavirus all the time. It's coronavirus 24/7. And it's all the implications from that. And it's true. A lot of the world has shut down because of there being the coronavirus. But at the same time, is that a healthy thing for us just to be focused on one thing all the time? The answer is no. So making sure I'm still maintaining a balance of topics. A good way to think about this is spice. That I'm talking about spiritual things. That I'm taking time to take care of my physical needs and communicate physical things. That I'm talking about intellectual ideas, those things in my mind, those things in my job that are still going on. That I'm taking time for culture. I don't want to binge watch TV all the time or movies, but that, you know, hey, I'm watching a few more movies now or watching TV, and then I'm taking time to talk about that, process that. And then I'm also talking about my emotions. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about these things that are healthy to talk about as well. And also the images to help us with hope. Jesus is the good shepherd. That I see Jesus beside me and that I sit with that image in prayer. That I think maybe with the image, God has the whole world in his hands. That I can see God with the world in his hands. And with the world in his hands, is God going to drop us? Is God going to forget about us? No, he's going to keep us there safe and sound and secure. Or maybe that I see myself in the palm of God's hand and thinking about the fact that God will never forget about us and that God has the power and the control and that there in God's hands that I can be safe. So, how are you? How are you really doing? What are those new habits and that are developing in your life? Are they survival strategies or are they thriving strategies? Can I identify where these habits are coming from? Can I find a way out of these survival strategies to living a thriving strategy? A strategy that's going to make me the best version of myself, that's going to draw me closer to God and other people, and to make me a happier person. And that's not just for when we're out in the world and we're living our normal life, but also during this time of social distancing and self-isolation and shelter-in-place orders. Just a couple quick announcements. Tomorrow we have the Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m. And just as a reminder, from Monday to Saturday, we have a daily mass at 7 a.m. streaming on YouTube, and Sundays at 8 a.m. And always at 7 a.m., that mass is live, and then you can go back sometime during the day as well, and it's up there on the YouTube channel, and you can watch it as well. Attached onto the flock note that I'm about to send out is a whole packet for Holy Week with the schedule in it and different resources and songs and different things to help you to enter more deeply into the coming Holy Week that's coming up here in a couple weeks. Last thing I'd just like to say is in my first podcast or my first little talk online, you know, I put in there a little plug for the collection, and now I have to say thank you. So the first week, our collection results are in, and we did $7,200 for our first week for our parish. And that's a pretty good week for us. It's not the best, not the worst, but it's a better week than what I was anticipating, as well as the finance committee. So definitely thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity. We ask you to continue to bring by your offertory envelopes and drop them off here at the rectory or in the candle money slots in the church. We also have a couple new online giving opportunities that are going to be coming online here very shortly. So we're excited to get that information out to you to help you to be able to donate more quickly and simply online. Or if you haven't already, to sign up for online giving. It's a really great way, a very quick way to continue to support the parish at this time. And, you know, if your job has changed or life situation has changed and right now that you can't support the parish financially, we totally understand that. But please keep praying for us. But if you can, we definitely appreciate your generosity to continue to help us to pay our bills. As you know, the mail's still coming. The bills are still coming at your house, and so it is here. So we definitely appreciate your support. We'll be talking to you again really soon. God bless everybody.